This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush. Presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My guest this hour is Steve House. Dr. Kelly is not able to join us today, and I told Dr. Kelly, Steve, I think you saw that you know, a couple of knuckleheads will do our best to fill in today.
Yeah, you know what? I was trying to figure out what she was doing, but I think I figured out. I think she's preparing for the mass casualty event that's called the State of the Union tonight.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And she is a mass casualty doc, so someone needs to help those guys out. It's going to be a little crazy, I think, with Biden up there tonight.
We may talk about that a little bit as we get going. But Steve House with me today. Those of you who may be joining us for the first time today, Steve's got a long, long history, not only in politics, but in the healthcare industry. Steve, you've been on the admin side of things. And again, part of why we do what we do with Dr. Kelly on a weekly basis is the relationship, you know, you and I had even prior to COVID ever starting, which we all forget was what now, 4 years ago, 2020?
Yeah, it was 2020. It was just about this time. I think the shutdown was like March 20th.
It is right about now. You are correct.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyways, you've been in this for a long time. You've seen different things over the years when it comes to healthcare. One of the things that I wanted to talk about today, and you actually, you know, mentioned that we should do this, is the mass casualty events, and then of course our future. But when you talk mass casualty events, you just talked about Dr. Kelly a moment ago, and she's a trauma doctor. But when you talk mass casualty, what are your thoughts there? What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, certainly COVID was a qualifier. I mean, even though it doesn't happen, you know, like in the traditional sense would be a massive earthquake, 9/11, you know, stuff like that. I mean, there's no question that we should view what happened with COVID as a mass casualty event. And of course, you can take a look at, you know, just from a health perspective point of view. I mean, I read today that 90% of Americans are not metabolically healthy.
Okay.
And so obviously the outcome of that is, you know, casualties. I mean, people die sooner and more suffering ways than they should. You know, you can add to that, there's still over 100,000 people who die annually in hospitals from medical mistakes. I mean, it's all kinds of things that are in that category. The point of it, though, is we've had this mass casualty event, not only in COVID, but in the vaccine distribution, and we're not looking at it. We're not investigating. I mean, there's plenty of people out there like Kelly who are taking a look at different reasons why vaccines have not worked and how they've injured people. But fundamentally, governments around the world, you know, very few of them have reacted at all. We're just going to eat it. We're going to live with it.
Yep.
We're going to eat it.
Great
we're going to chalk it up to something. And, you know, nothing will probably ever happen.
Even though, and you and I were big on the data all the way through COVID, even before Dr. Kelly started joining us, you know, we were weekly talking about the data. Where are we at? What's going on? What does it actually show? How many people are actually dying? Who's dying of COVID rather than with COVID? And on we went. And to your point, they ignored the data then and kept giving us false information, everything from, oh, because of this, you need to, you know, social distance, you need to make sure you're wearing your mask, you need to do this, you need to do that, we have to close businesses down. There's the, you know, there's businesses that are essential, there's businesses that are non-essential, which I hated that term. Even to this day, I still hate that term because they're all essential, Steve, especially when they're trying to feed their families. It's very, very essential. But in the end, they were not only ignoring that data, but continuing to push, in my opinion, just absolute false garbage onto the people that people were just sucking up and how do I say it, Steve? Embracing, I guess, is the way to say it. I mean, some people literally embrace some of the things that government did to us and didn't mind it at all.
100% agree. And I think, you know, somebody asked me recently why we still talk about COVID after 4 years. And the answer is, it's really not COVID that we're talking about. We're talking about the role of government.
That's
the role
right.
of government.
That's right.
And, you know, the role of government is under scrutiny right now for so many reasons. I mean, everything you just listed, and then, you know, how we decide to send money to foreign countries, how we take care of our own people, what the rules are in schools, how healthcare itself works. I mean, there's many, many, many regulations in healthcare that are designed to manage money, but not necessarily people's lives.
Right.
You know, we've had medical discoveries, as we talked about last week, out the wazoo, from CT scanners and MRIs to cancer drugs, et cetera. And we're more unhealthy now than we've ever been.
Right.
So the role, what's the role of government? I mean, I think that people need to keep talking about it until they figure out, you know, if Alex Azar or the, you know, the current folks who run HHS, you know, if they say there's only been 11 true vaccine injury events that have cost drug manufacturers $9,000, that means the government's playing the role of referee
yep.
over things that they approve that hurt Americans, and they're so powerful in government that they can stop people from getting any remuneration, any response and justice for the fact that these, you know, pharmaceutical companies hurt them. If government's to be that level of referee, I don't think the government we have under those circumstances is the government we want.
Fully agree. And just a side note, if there's any individual, including those in government, that believe the figures you just gave, oh my word, Steve, we are in huge trouble. There hasn't been a vaccine ever created that had that low of an effect on the peoples inside of the trials, even that, you know, this one didn't have those, of course, but even inside the trials, you could list far more individuals and a far larger dollar amount of issues that happen. Anybody that would believe those figures is a complete utter idiot.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you could add to that list that even, you know, came this week. I mean, I don't think people actually believe that. I think they're simply managing to a set of expectations around what's reasonable for the pharmaceutical companies to ante up for their mistakes. The pharmaceutical companies themselves are likely to point the finger back at the government and say, hey, look, you were the guys that said to rush this.
We just did what you asked.
We just did what you asked because you were in a crisis. And again, it goes back to the role of government. I mean, the life is not entirely about politics. It's only about politics to the extent that government affects your life. And there's lots of impacts. And we're going into an election year. Joe Scarborough said this week, Joe Biden is at his very best ever. He's brilliant. I'm like, no one believes that either.
So yeah, no one does.
You have gaslighting going on. I mean, how much are they going to gaslight us? And you know what? You and I and people that have critical thinking skills don't get gaslighted very easy.
Nope.
But there's a whole bunch of people in this country who do.
Sure do. Well, point proven. I just got a text message in from somebody that said, in Fort Collins, there's still more people in the Costco and grocery stores wearing masks than I saw at the doctor's office. People there are just loony as all get out. Yeah, I think different parts of the state, Steve, there's some that are a little more loony than others. Down here, I don't see quite as much of that, although you still see a little bit of that periodically. You see some of it even traveling, and you know, you travel, you're on an airplane and such. You still see some of that. To your point, these are individuals, in my opinion, that I had some conversations with some folks that kind of go along with this. And the conversation went something along the lines of, you know, basically, my point is government doesn't care about us at all. In fact, I will go as far as saying there are some individuals, I as a self-employed individual, they absolutely despise and hate. And this person said, well, I really don't think, that's kind of a strong word. I really don't think government, you know, dislikes its citizenry or hates individuals like you. And I gave several examples right along the lines of what you and I are talking about right now that would say otherwise. Steve, I could go through example after example after example that prove government doesn't like us.
Oh my gosh. They don't like people who would persuade others that the answer to problems is government itself. I mean, there's the old adage, John, we talked about this way back in the beginning, that government functions best under its own terms, not our terms, but its terms. If they can create a problem, blame you for it, and then provide the answer on how to fix it.
Yep.
So, you know, it's climate change, right? So is it really a problem? We could debate that all day. You know, climate change, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But let's say they create a problem called climate change. They blame mankind, humans, you, me, and everyone for driving cars and you know, eating the wrong food.
Living,
and all
Steve,
that other
just
stuff.
Living.
Living, right, right. And then they say, look, we're the ones who are going to fix it.
Right.
You have to be dependent. When you breach that paradigm, the government doesn't like it. Individuals in the government don't like it because they want to be able to provide a fix for everything. I learned
right.
long ago, constitutionality is better served if governments do a lot less.
Yep.
And that doesn't serve government itself.
Well, and those people that are inside government, as you know, even though some of them might be well-meaning individuals, even subconsciously, Steve, they want their job. They don't want to lose their job. I don't care what person you're talking about inside government. So given the fact that they're incentivized to keep said job, never work themselves out of a job, in fact, try to be as essential as possible, of course they're always going to take that side.
They are going to always take that side. I mean, you actually have almost the absolute worst scenario, right? You have, you know, a group of people that don't like the right to work concept, so then you put them in government. You used to be that the reason why we gave government employees better benefits, better longevity, safety and protection for their jobs was because their wages were below
That's right.
market standard.
That's
but they're
right.
not anymore.
Nope.
So
they are right in
get
line.
More job, they get more job protection. They get
That's
more.
Right.
I mean, it's harder to fire a government employee than anyone
That's
out
right.
there.
That's right.
Some of them are great workers. I mean, we have plenty of them that are. But, you know, 300,000 more government workers in a quarter versus what we're getting commercially, that's us paying taxes
Correct.
And spending deficit-level monies to pay for jobs in the government that probably are in roles that don't include the 18 enumerated powers that the Constitution prescribed from the very beginning.
Got a text message I'd like us to talk about as soon as we come back from break, because I think that this does tie into what we're talking about, or this texter wouldn't have said this. A lot of mask wearers, especially, have been brainwashed. Steve, I think a lot of people have been brainwashed on a lot of other levels, and I want to talk about and get an answer back from you on how do we deprogram or de-brainwash some of these people where they can come back to their senses. We'll talk about that in a moment. Keep texting me, by the way, 307-200-8222. Myself, Steve House, will be right back. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, find out what he can do for you on a mortgage today, 720-895-0500.
Are you waiting for rates to go down? Are all of your monthly payments too much? No room for taxes or insurance increases? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Do you have rates in the threes and fours on your mortgage? We can help you lower your total monthly payments by $700 to $1,200 a month. Money saved is money earned. 720-895-0500, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Have you purchased a home in the last 2 years? With rates down 1% to 1.5%, start saving hundreds now. Take AIM and let our experience save you money. 720-895-0500. Have you taken out an FHA or VA loan? With rates dropping, they offer a streamlined loan that requires no income verification, no increase in current payoff, no appraisal required, and payments $250 to $400 a month lower. And you may also be able to skip two payments. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. We have been saving homeowners thousands since 2001. It's like giving yourself a raise. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. NMLS 217147, regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Dr. Scott, who was with us, by the way, yesterday for the full first hour, he is right in line with what we're talking about right now with Steve House. If you want a medical provider that thinks like you, look no further. Dr. Scott Faulkner, 303-663-6990.
Do you want to improve your health, fitness, and beauty? Are you an athlete recovering from an injury? A weekend warrior who is sore from your last workout? Do you have a chronic medical condition trying to meet a health and wellness goal? Or maybe you are looking for a great doctor who thinks the way you do. Dr. Scott Faulkner and Castle Rock Regenerative Healthcare is your path to a healthier tomorrow. Owner Dr. Scott is a board-certified internal medicine specialist, bringing decades of experience and expertise to the table. Dr. Scott is a true advocate of the latest advancements in healthcare. That's why he uses umbilical-derived stem cells, which have been clinically proven to be the most potent stem cells available. Worried about being lost in the crowd of impersonal healthcare? Fear not. Dr. Scott is a big picture doctor, not beholden to big pharma like some other providers. He takes the time to understand your unique needs and will customize your healthcare to fit you, your body, and your lifestyle. Reach your full potential and achieve your goals. Call Dr. Scott today at 303 303- 763-6990 or visit him online at CastleRockRegenerativeHealth.com or find him at RushToReason.com.
All right, you heard Alan earlier, by the way, right before we came on air from 2:30 to 3. Level Engineering, find out if solar works for you, 303-378-7537.
Alan Davis of Level Engineering wants you to have the whole story about saving money with solar. Everyone knows that solar power saves you money, but the most important savings are all those dollars you won't have to pay the power company. For most homes, that will mean paying thousands less for electricity annually. And the average tax credit for installing solar in your home is 56%. That's more money in your pocket. In addition to the money that you will save each month, solar can add $15,000 or more to the value of your home. And homes with solar panels sell faster than those without. Today's solar energy is a great financial decision on your part when you work with Alan Davis. Alan is the solar money-saving expert. So talk to him directly by going to klzradio.com/solar for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Roof Savers of Colorado, if you've got a roof problem, we've got the fix. That is Roof Savers of Colorado, Dave Hart. Commercial, residential, doesn't matter what it is, 303-710-6916.
With hail season behind us now and snow season fast approaching, we here at Roof Savers Colorado want to help ensure that your roof can brave whatever elements this season ushers in. With over 20 plus years of roofing experience, we pride ourselves in helping homeowners evaluate the best option for their situation. If you're looking to get more life out of your current roof, we offer a 100% plant-based rejuvenation treatment that gives new roof performance without all the new roof costs. However, in the event a replacement is necessary, we will also work with any insurance company to get a damaged roof the replacement it needs. Do not let your home fall victim to the ever-changing Colorado climate. Be proactive and set up your free inspection to receive an honest evaluation of the condition of your roof. Call today at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916. Or go to roofsaversco.com to keep your roof ready for wherever Colorado throws its way.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
And we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Steve House with us this hour. Dr. Kelly could not join us today, so Steve and I said we would handle things on our own. We won't get into the medical, technical end of things probably as much as we normally would with Kelly, Steve. But the whole brainwashing thing, I think you and I can discuss. And honestly, I think it's multifaceted. I don't know that I have an exact answer as to how we deprogram some of these people. And my fear, Steve, is some of these people are just, you know, so entrenched. They bought in so much into everything I talked about earlier in regards to the mandates, the mask, this, that, and the other. I mean, these were the people that, frankly, wanted all of that. They were hoping government would do so. They got their wish, and they don't want to let go.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was contemplating the question you asked before you went to the break about, you know, the listener, you know, texted in, you know, how do you get people that are like that, that are wearing masks, for example, or bought into, you know, the theory of mask wearing, even though frequently you see them wearing cloth masks, which absolutely do nothing for them or anybody else. And frankly, cloth mask and and any mask, even an N95, has a negative impact on the person wearing it if you wear it long enough. Because it's that thing. But in reality, the question we have to ask ourselves now is, do we even try to help them? I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to live a life where I take the freedom I have, which is rapidly being taken away from us, and live it to the extent that I can before it's gone. I mean, I hope that we don't have to have a war to battle for it. I mean, there's a movie coming out called Civil War. I've watched the trailers on that thing, and I think that's very, very close to what possibly could happen here. I just don't know that we need to take the time to try to help everyone who can't help themselves or can't figure it out. And frankly, you know, I sat next to somebody who had a mask on the plane yesterday, and it was a lady. And you know what? To me, the way I treat it is there must be something that she has wrong with her that she needs the mask to protect me. So I'm going to treat her like, you know, she has a mask on because she's got something wrong. And that's all I can do, right? I can't try to convince people. I'd rather spend my time being free and doing other things.
Can't argue that. I guess the question, luckily, it's not growing. It ebbs and flows. You see some different people at different times where I think there's more on it, you know, sometimes than the other, especially during the winter months. I think people get worried about, you know, even though they're totally non-effective when it comes to colds and things like that, Steve. We know that from everything we went through with COVID, that those particles, and to your point, unless it's something like an N95, which, by the way, is protecting you, but no one around you, Steve, because as you know, you're exhaling through the vents in an N95 mask. So the reality is, at the end of the day, you're protecting yourself maybe, but you're not protecting anybody else around you. And then, of course, we can get in all of the details when it comes to, you know, your eyes and, you know, other things where they're unprotected. And the reality is, and it's why when people are working inside a lab on these sorts of viruses, if you would, or anything along those lines, you know, they are suited up with a respirator. They aren't exposed any way, shape, or form. Even skin, Steve, is not exposed. And yet we all ran around, or not us, but a lot of people ran around thinking a cloth mask was going to save them.
Yeah, if we did. And it's, you know, it's the quality of information we're consuming. I mean, Trump said the other night in the post-Tuesday, Super Tuesday, you know, victory speech that, you know, we need a sound media. And what he really means is we need a sound information distribution process, right? I mean,
right.
We have to find a way for people to get real information. I mean, frankly, you know, most people wouldn't believe, because they see advertisements, they wouldn't believe that, for example, something like oatmeal might be bad for you in the morning. But for some people, it's just not good, right? I mean, there's things that are wrong with it. You have to be able to consume information that serves your needs. But when you're getting it, it has to be accurate information. It just has to be.
Yep. I got another text message.
And we don't have it. We don't have it.
Another text message said, I got walked out of several buildings for either not wearing a mask correctly or not at all. And that was Costco, Lifetime Fitness, Menards up in Cheyenne, several King Supers. Basically got walked out of a King Supers for going the wrong way down a one-way aisle. I mean, again, Steve, to a lot of our texters, I mean, literally, we were battling what I used to call them, the little mask Nazis, because, man, they wanted to make sure these were all the little rule followers to make sure everybody did exactly. I mean, these guys were on King of the Mountain at that point in time, Steve. Again, as I said earlier, these were the individuals that wanted something like this to happen. They were the Karens of the world. They want to make sure everybody's toeing the line. And some of them are still, you know, thinking that they're still in power, even though they're not.
Well, they like that power, right? I mean, you know, Dr. Fauci liked it. I mean, there's lots of people who think that they have powers. I mean, there's people who run companies. At one point in time, I would have suggested to you that most of the rules regarding COVID were designed to prevent liability from being put onto a company, right? Because if someone walked in at that point, we didn't know if they picked up COVID there that, you know, that company wouldn't get sued because that person died, right? I mean, it would be a wrongful death suit.
Correct.
We're certainly not there anymore. I mean, my God, you'd sue every time someone got the flu and died.
Right.
But, you know, the reality of it is there is people who even are fearful of the legal system and the government to the point where they're going to take it out on you as a consumer or as a fellow citizen, because that's the only way they know how to do it.
All right. Shifting gears a little bit, because, again, I'm with you. I don't know that there's really ever going to be a way. And another text message came in just talking about how during that time, even those in media, you talked about a moment ago having truthful media. We had those in media, you know, shaming others that wouldn't wear their mask, and even people going on camera when, by the way, there wasn't anybody near them and still wearing a mask, and on and on and on. It was just the most ridiculous thing ever. And then you had people like you and I, where we were doing everything we possibly could not to wear one, cheating anytime you possibly could. It almost became a game, Steve, as to where you could go without getting in trouble for not wearing a mask. But anyways, you know, digressing a little bit, but the future, and I think what, you know, concerns folks like myself and you is, or you and I, is we saw that happen once. I doubt seriously if that's the last thing that's going to come along. So the question always remains, if and when the next one, you know, comes along, how many people actually buy into it?
It depends on how many people are dying from it. I mean, I think that's the premise we've seen in some of the Disease X stuff was, you know, 20% death rate, 50% death rate.
Right.
And if you got to that level of a death rate, you and I might hesitate on who we would associate with. I don't know that I would. I wouldn't be dictating as a government what people could do, but I would be informative to say, look, if 2 out of every 10 people who get this die from it, that's a fairly high number. I mean, it was 1 out of 100 if you counted a bunch of deaths that weren't really related to COVID. If you gave them the numbers that they gave us, it was 1 out of 100. 20 out of 100 or 2 out of 10, that's a whole different ballgame.
True. Very, you know, very good point. And I guess, too, the other thing to concern.
By the way, John, sorry.
No, go ahead.
It wouldn't cause us to wear a mask if it was respiratory because we know they don't work.
Very true.
That wouldn't change.
Very
true. Even though lots and lots of people would do it, it still doesn't work. It doesn't change that.
Very true. Great point. And again, I guess the concern that I've got is also how truthful. So, you know, your point a moment ago, it depends on how bad it is, how many people are dying. Well, the problem that I've got personally, and I know you feel the same way about this, is, okay, whose numbers am I going to trust? If around me I'm looking at people and everybody that I associate with and that I know and that maybe even sometimes have been sick, but yet there's been no deaths, but yet their government's reporting, you know, 2 out of 10 deaths, at what point, you know, I guess the question is, who do you believe at that point? Because they've already killed all trust up to this point. You and I talked about that through COVID, how they were literally killing their own trust. Not that they had a lot prior to COVID, but through COVID, Steve, and even today, I have zero trust in them. Absolutely none.
Well, and that's the point. Going back to what's the role of government, right? I mean, you know, the role of government is not to persuade us to do what it wants. It's to provide us with information so we can decide to do what we want. And you know, in all aspects of what we've seen from, you know, COVID especially is, you know, the role of government was being redefined and they keep testing us. You know, we've heard people make proposals that, oh, we're going to do all ballots from home this time. We're not going to do mail-in ballots and all that other stuff. There just is a continuous series of tests to see what we'll tolerate. We get what we're willing to accept. And if we were willing to accept the shutdown and we couldn't go to church, but the bars were still open, or we couldn't go to church, but casinos were still open,
yep,
we accepted that. I mean, if we don't stop accepting it, we're going to get more of it.
Yep.
And that's the problem we're facing.
The other problem, I just got a text message from somebody talking about the family divisions that came out of what we just went through as well. The fact that, hey, some of us are still waiting for apologies from individuals because they were so dead set on doing things one way, and it's turned out that they were completely wrong, Steve. And yet, inside of those very own families, there are no apologies. There's still huge family divisions. And it's almost like, wait a minute, it can be proven now that you all were wrong. People like Steve, you and I were correct. We were right because we were looking at the data. And yet nobody's apologized. I mean, I had people on social media basically wishing I had died during all of that because they didn't agree with what I was saying. I haven't gotten an apology yet.
Yeah, no, I haven't either. And I don't think we ever will. I mean, obviously, you know, it's I think one of the hardest parts about this evolution of the role of government and the presence of, you know, gaslighting and misinformation is that no one ever takes responsibility for bad information.
Right.
When it's absolutely obvious. I mean, we still have, you know, Edward Snowden out there sharing with us certain things that are going to happen because he's seen emails and all this other stuff.
Right.
Nobody takes responsibility for it. I mean, you know, how many times have we heard the story from Hunter and Joe Biden change? And it's changed from he didn't know anything to he never met them to he met them but he wasn't involved to he met them, he was involved, but he wasn't really getting paid. Nobody ever apologized. Nobody comes back and say, well, you know, that's you know, information that I didn't have. I mean, it's like, you know, telling a lie to your children or your wife. At some point, someone's going to have to hold you accountable.
Somebody else
and no one's holding them accountable.
And this is what will be interesting about the next time around, by the way, because I think some of these people texting in really do understand what you and I are talking about. Somebody just texted and said, I wish I would have been more defiant with the mask wearing, especially on a plane. Like, what's the worst they would have done? At the airport in Denver, I got hollered and screamed at multiple times because as soon as I was off the plane, my mask was off. And I think, you know, a lot of people now also, Steve, are looking back thinking, wait a minute, why weren't we more defiant with some of these things? Would it have gone on as long as it did? Had more of us been defiant? I don't have an answer for that, Steve. I don't know.
I don't have an answer for that either. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what would have happened if people just absolutely refused?
If the majority had, I think you would have seen things change, you know, overnight. You know, for example, if every business that got told they were supposed to shut down didn't, if every church that said you couldn't meet did, if every person that said wear a mask didn't, this thing would have ended much sooner. The problem is people are too compliant.
People were too compliant. I mean, you know, obviously, you look at the J6 scenario, right? I mean, there was a bunch of people in J6 who wandered into the Capitol. I don't think they had any bad intentions.
But, right.
You know, they're talking about getting to the point where there's 2,000 or 3,000 arrests. I mean, those folks were defiant. They were collective. There was only 2,000 or 3,000 of them versus, you know, what would have been millions who should have been defiant about what they were telling us on COVID.
Right.
But you got to start somewhere. And I just don't think we can continue to buy into what we're being told and get anywhere. We're just going to give up freedom more and more and more.
Yep.
And eventually it won't be a pandemic that locks you in your house. It will just be a standard protocol.
Well, and I think
because Because you could breathe bad air.
Right.
Sunstroke or whatever.
And I think you're looking at a lot of what happened during COVID as a step that direction. Frankly, I think a lot of people, we've talked about some of them, you know, through this last half hour, I think a lot of people wanted it to be much worse than it really was as far as what the lockdown, you know, what the lockdowns were and you know, that end of things. In other words, I think some of them wanted it to be much, much worse than it actually was. If they had had their way, you know, I wouldn't have been on air every day. I wouldn't have been driving to the station here. You wouldn't have had certain restaurants open or even takeout open. I mean, literally, Steve, I think there's people out there, including those that were in government, that wanted it, Fauci included, that wanted it to be a lot worse than it was. We sort of got the 50% shutdown, I guess you could say, when it was all said and done. There were some out there that wanted a full 100%. Point is, because of the, how do I want to say this, the data that proves how badly they handled all of that and the fact that even those things that they shut down didn't have any effect whatsoever when it was all said and done, good luck on the next one.
I know. I mean, I say that. I still think that it's just like anything else, right? I mean, there are still some 30-35% of the people out there who are trying to convince us that Joe Biden does not have dementia or does not have a mental capacity or an age problem. They see the same thing you see, the same thing I see. The same thing would be true on another pandemic type scenario. You know, if it's no worse than a respiratory virus like COVID was, there are people who would see it as a killer. They still do even today.
True.
People are still getting vaccinated.
True.
Because they believe by being vaccinated, they have less risk of getting hospitalized, even though we now know it's just the opposite.
Right.
If you get vaccinated, you have a higher risk of going to the hospital and dying than you do if you're not vaccinated. But they'll never believe the other piece. That's the problem with gaslighting. For gaslighting, some people, it works perfectly.
That's the thing that I still can't wrap my head around, Steve. And maybe it's because, you know, I do what I do and I talk to people like you and Dr. Kelly and I get a lot of great information. But I look at the data and think, okay, wait a minute. If everybody else was looking at the same things I am, why would you ever take that thing in the first place? And now, especially, even if you took it initially because you didn't know any better, because it, you know, because we really didn't know and there was a lot of misinformation. But now that there's a lot of solid information on what these things actually do, why in the world would you ever take one?
I don't know why you would. I mean, only you have to believe something that we don't believe, that hasn't been publicly available. You have to have read nothing. You have to have done no research. Or one thing you could have is you could have a physician that you spend time with that is your doctor that you trust who believes in it too. There are plenty of them that are like that. Plenty of them.
Yeah, agree. Can't disagree with that at all. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Keep texting me, 307-200-8222. I do want to talk about AI and just some of the future of things along those lines, Steve. It's one of the things that I know both of us stay up on pretty well. We'll get back to that in a moment. Hi-Fi Plumbing is next, folks. $100 off your next service, 877-WE-HIGH-FIVE.
You'll soon be watering your lawn or washing your car, and Hi-Fi Plumbing can help you do it confidently. Through the winter, your exterior spigots and faucets may have frozen and thawed several times, which could mean trouble when you want to use them. Main water lines may have cracks that weren't noticeable until now. And if you're seeing lowered water pressure, standing water in your yard, or a high water bill, you need Hi-Five to come out and to see what the issue is. Hi-Five takes time to thoroughly inspect your concerns and uses cutting-edge tools, gauges, and technology to pinpoint the problem faster to get your plumbing back on track. Hi-Five is also unique because they won't pressure you. If a problem is found, they'll give you a few options so that you can choose what works best for you. KLZ listeners, tell them that you heard them on Rush to Reason for an incredible $100 off a repair. Just go to klzradio.com/plumbing to find out more.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, don't forget, seminar coming up Saturday, which you can register for now. Just go to klzradio.com, look for Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial, and register now.
You need Golden Eagle Financial to maximize your retirement in this new reality of rising costs that will not stop. That way you can retire on your terms. When prices rise, there are strategies and tools that an experienced retirement planner like Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial can use to maximize your returns while maintaining minimal risk. This gives you more purchasing power to retire on your terms. Whether you want to travel, give to others, purchase property, or anything else you've worked for your whole life. Al can provide essential analysis and strategy to make sure that you're prepared for any economic changes. So that'll help you understand the exact risks and expenses and help you fit it into your plan for your future. Call Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today and get started preparing for your new reality by going to klzradio.com/money for a free consultation. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Golden Eagle Financial Limited are independent of each other. Insurance products.
Cub Creek Heating and Air Conditioning. Don't forget, if you're looking for a new AC unit or furnace, they've got financing available. Cub Creek, find them at klzradio.com.
Cub Creek Heating and AC knows that solving your home's heating and cooling needs can be confusing. The energy industry can be complicated, and Cub Creek will help you navigate through it so you owe as little as possible. Denver is mostly served by a large power company, but many of the towns around it are served by smaller power companies, all with different policies and regulations. The team at Cub Creek understands these regulations so they can best advise you on what will save you the most. They walk customers through the options step by step, always keeping your overall net cost in mind. Most companies say they'll get you the biggest rebate, but sell you the most expensive equipment, so you lose money in the end. And Cub Creek isn't a commission-based company, so there's no chance you'll be upsold. They will give you all the options, and you choose how to proceed. Learn the facts and save money with Ream Pro Partners Cub Creek Heating and AC today by going to klzradio.com/HVAC.
Now, back to Rush to Reason, presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
All right, we are back. Steve House with me during this hour. Dr. Kelly could not join us today, but thank you all for listening to us each Thursday like you do during this hour. Thanks for listening. A lot of you listened the whole 3 hours, so I appreciate that very much. Steve, I didn't preface this, but Charlie and I were going back and forth today. There's an article out, and you may have seen this, to where there's a particular individual. I think he's overseas. I want to say he's in Europe, where he had gotten, I don't know, a couple hundred COVID shots. I mean, just kept getting him, and had no adverse reaction. Now, first of all, you have to wonder, did he really get that many shots? And if he did, I guess common sense maybe for me in this particular scenario with knowing what these particular shots do, would it just be a matter of he already got the spike protein, adding all of these additional shots on really didn't have any ill effect because he's already had it? And some people, we know there are some people that have had it, at least up to this point, no ill effects. There's been others that have, and that I don't have an answer. I think it's just your own DNA and how it's affected. But could this be a situation where because it's this type of shot and this type of it's not even a vaccine, but this type of a treatment, once you have it, those extra shots in this particular man's case really didn't have any effect?
You know, there's so many variables in this question because in reality, you know, the body is genetically different. I mean, why do some people die at the age of 45 from breast cancer and others live, you know, a long life who get breast cancer and never die? I mean, it's how our body reacts to things, how our immune system reacts. I mean, this person could have, you know, an outstanding immune system that is fighting it off, you know, over and over and over again.
Right.
It could be what you're describing in terms of diminishing returns or diminishing damage done over time. There's just so many variables. Also, we know that a lot of the injuries occurred from specific batches and specific manufacturers.
Good point.
So certain batch from Moderna, certain batch from Pfizer, certain one from Johnson & Johnson. Others were, you know, some of the international products that were made. We don't know enough about the situation to make any prediction other than to say, look, there are people who smoke cigarettes from the time they're 15 years old until they're 100.
Yep.
And they do 2-3 packs a day and they never get cancer and they never die from it. Why do they have that ability and others do not? And the answer is because our genetics and our immune systems and how we react to things are different. It doesn't mean one guy taking 200 COVID shots doesn't mean that, you know, that there's something wrong with the vaccine. There's not something wrong with the vaccine because plenty of people are tied directly to taking the shot and having catastrophic results.
Yeah, and again, those are the answers for all of you listening. And we've, Steve, you and I, and Dr. Kelly have talked about this many, many times. And this is where I do feel confident I can answer some of these questions directly just because we've had enough information from her and you. Everybody's different. You just said it a moment ago. Everybody's DNA is different. You know, for example, why did some people have really, really adverse reactions to COVID itself when others just had sniffles? I mean, somebody like myself, I frankly, and I can't answer why. And I didn't take a lot of COVID tests because of talking to Dr. Kelly. But even the times when I was really sick and or had to take a test for whatever reason, getting on an airplane, whatever the case may be. Reality, Steve, is I, to this day, in my entire journey through all of this, have never had a positive COVID test. And I can't answer why.
Yeah. I mean, it's there are some people out there. It's a smaller number of people, certainly. But there's some people out there who have, you know, good immune systems. I mean, we know, for example, that in some of the places in Africa, people who have, you know, relatively low vitamin D levels because they have dark skin, they don't have access to the food that has vitamin D in it, but they didn't die from COVID. They didn't even get COVID. Why did they not get COVID when in America, you know, low vitamin D levels associated with an inability to absorb it and oftentimes associated with the darker colored skin tones? You know, those people were harder off with COVID than almost anybody.
Right.
Why does it vary? Why does that happen? Well, the answer is exactly what you said. You just have different genetics.
Yeah. And I know people that were, by the way, the prime candidate to have problems with COVID. In other words, overweight, probably not outside a lot, probably didn't have the best eating habits, probably had, you know, very low vitamin D, and yet still got COVID. And frankly, Steve, had zero issues. Yet I've known other people that were probably more fit than even I, that did a good job of keeping, you know, keeping tabs on themselves, that yet at the end of the day got COVID and really, really struggled. Again, I don't have the answer as to why. No different, Steve, than why I don't have an answer to why do some people struggle with, you know, colds more than others? Why do some people get the flu more easily than others? I mean, the reality is, Steve, all of us are different, and I don't have that answer.
No, I mean, Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. I mean, they're not that far apart in age, but, you know, Trump at this point shows no signs of any serious, you know, mental incapacity or dementia. And Joe is struggling to put sentences together. It happens. I mean, we see it in elderly and those kind of diseases. We see it in the onset of cancers. We see it in, you know, why does someone get type 1 diabetes and someone else doesn't? Why does someone who is grossly overweight never get type 2 diabetes?
Good point.
It's all about how your body has variables in it and variations. And the problem is not that one person could survive 200 COVID shots. The problem is that there were tens of thousands or millions of people who got injured by COVID shots. That's what we have to focus on.
Good point. All right, let's talk about, and we kind of got into this last week a little bit and said we would talk about this down the road. And that's some of these how should I say it? They want to utilize mRNA and types of mRNA, maybe is the way I should say it, because it won't be exactly what we have now, but they'll use that as a delivery system. We talked about this a little bit last week, even with Dr. Kelly, through, you know, CRISPR and things like that, to where they really want to do genetic modifications to either, quote unquote, stave off a particular illness somebody might have or might have a, you know, genetic disposition towards. But Steve, when you start doing that, my fear, and we talked about this last week, is you're really starting to get in sort of that quote unquote God end of things. And is that really a path we want to go down? And I know the medical industry would say, medical community would say, well, of course, if we could save somebody from having X, why would we not do that? Man, I don't know, Steve. That to me seems like a really slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope in both ways. Number one, you know, if there, in fact, is technology out there, for example, that could regenerate the human spine so that people lost, you know, that they lost or they were paralyzed from accidents or whatever, could regrow a spine and walk again, we'd say that's wonderful. But
right.
If it was genetically one of those things that caused other diseases, I mean, you have to look back on, you know, autism is a good example. I mean, you know, listen to Robert Kennedy, listen to many others. 1984, something changed. You know, we don't know exactly what that was. It may have been the advent of other vaccines or things like that. It may have been something environmental. Every time you mess with the way that life is balanced against, you know, botany and human beings and, you know, Earth's natural processes, there can be side effects. And those side effects can be evolution of plants, species, diseases, cancers, et cetera. So if you are going to mess around, recognize that you may, in fact, create a problem.
Very, very well said. I can't argue that. Okay, so last thing we'll throw in here, and we can get into this more in the future, by the way, and even maybe do a complete separate segment with just you and I at some point in time, or we'll wait till Dr. Kelly can't join us again like now. AI. And you know me, I'm a techno geek. I like technology. I think there's huge benefits to technology. I know there's an upside and a downside to everything. AI could be included in that. There's a lot of folks on our side of the aisle, though, that are just dead set against AI. By the way, I'm not one of those, Steve. Again, I look at any of these technologies and say, used correctly, can this benefit mankind? Absolutely. Used incorrectly, can this have a detrimental effect upon mankind? Absolutely. In fact, Steve, the internet is one of those items we already have. I just look at AI as being another layer that, yes, we need to make sure we use it correctly. On the same token, I don't know regulation-wise what should or shouldn't be done.
You know, I try to separate into two broad categories. It needs to be much more granular than this, but this may help. And that okay. The two broad categories are AI that does process-related work.
Okay.
So work that doesn't require anything more than, you know, relatively simple training or, you know, some level of training, and that we have lost individuals because of labor reductions, because of aging or whatever. So I'll give you an example. If AI could do dry cleaning,
okay,
you know, would AI doing dry cleaning be a risk for us? Almost certainly not. I mean, in Germany, one out of every 8 dry cleaners still exist. The other 7 went out of business, not just because of COVID. They want, because they don't have labor to do the work. So AI can do process work. Where AI becomes more dangerous, in my opinion, or certainly the unknown is more dangerous, is when it begins to interact with people and persuade or change how they think. So, you know, if you're asking me in the healthcare world, if I could have AI do all the billing work, you know, do all the mathematical problems,
yeah, why not?
The billing problems, yeah, why not? I mean, it'll right. save us time, energy, money, whatever.
Precisely.
But the moment you start having it interact with patients, having it try to make diagnosis, you know, things like that, then you're starting to figure out, hey, wait a minute, it's taking over the job, an artful, scientific-based job for a human being. I think we got to go slow. I think we got to have the right level of ethics in government. And I think we got to be very, very careful that you don't mix genetics in humans and AI that is generative relative to the public and a human being. If you do those two things together, you better do them very carefully.
Can't argue that. Now, am I one, and you know, you would know what I would say here. You're going into the doctor's office and the check-in process, could that be automated? Absolutely. And Steve, would I be against that? Absolutely not. And automated as in, hey, we want to make sure that we've got all the things in order, everything from insurance to your name to your social to blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I've got no issues whatsoever. Once you get into the doctor's office, I guess you should say, or get into the room that you need to be in to see the, at that point, human doctor. Yeah, to me, that's where the personal touch should never go away. You need to have that doctor in place. Now, I guess the question for somebody like yourself, because you see way more of this than I ever would, are there certain procedures or even visits, common cold, for example, where AI could handle that? And I don't know the answer. You would know that better than I.
Well, so the right thing is, think about it. You know, patients have histories. They come in with a set of symptoms. It's kind of like a mathematical formula when you say, given these 6 things have existed for this patient for years, and given these 3 symptoms, what are the most likely problems that are at hand? And, you know, instead of it telling you what to do, it can present you with the most obvious options. Analytics has been able to do that for some time already. We haven't taken advantage of it the same way, but if you, in fact, have too few of doctors, especially in the primary care space, and you can aid them in diagnosis by managing the data that we have, social determinants data, clinical data, financial data, and say, look, here are the best 3 options. 81% of the time, this option is the best option. You know, then leave it up to the doctors to decide what to do with it, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, ordering the treatment automatically from AI without any understanding of what's really going on, without actually having a Q&A or question and answer session with the patient where, you know, doctors can use their vast experience of, you know, interacting with people as a filter. AI doesn't have that filter today. It still goes back to, though, 165 IQ on the horizon for AI, 2500 IQ way down the road a bit. Once you get to be that smart, it's going to interact with us and make us create problems simply because we can't handle the intellect it brings to the table.
You know, that I can't disagree with. So, got a minute or so left. In closing, how do we handle that trajectory? Because we're not going to slow it down. How do we handle that?
Well, I think we have to focus on, you know, AI needs to be done in places where there's absolutely a need, and that probably doesn't include the high order science stuff, the high order, you know, clinical stuff. You know, it can't be making decisions for how CEOs run their businesses. It can provide them with analytics and decision support. It can't be running governments. It can't be doing those kinds of things, because right. if it does those kinds of things, it will eventually not need us at all.
Very good point.
However, if you need somebody to run a test on a car that comes in, you yep. know, plugs into a computer
yep.
port, runs a test, gets yep. the output, makes the most likely diagnosis, and recommends what needs to be done, as long as somebody's a filter for that, it will improve productivity dramatically and lower costs, and that's good for us.
Can't argue that. Steve, as always, I appreciate it very much. I know we don't have a website for Steve, but I'll tell you, if you ever want to get in touch with him and you want me to pass along a message or something, by all means, I can get that done. Steve, I always appreciate it. We'll see you next week. Thanks for all you do for us, and again, for setting all of this up in the first place, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have Dr. Kelly here weekly, and I know there's a lot of people out there listening that are very thankful for you doing that.
Oh, man, my pleasure. By the way, I talked to your wife, and I asked her why you hadn't had COVID, and she said, because he's just too handsome. COVID won't take out a handsome
yeah,
guy.
Uh-huh.
Like
if that were only true, that were only true. Appreciate you, man.
Right, man.
Thanks.
Good to be with you.
You bet, man. Thank Have you. A great night, and I appreciate Steve greatly. Great friend, and I appreciate all that he's done for us here at Rush to Reason. Veteran Windows and Doors, speaking of a good guy as well, that is Dave Bancroft. He'd love to help you with your home, whether it be windows, doors, both. Doesn't matter. Give Dave a call today. Find him at klzradio.com.
Veteran Windows and Doors believes you are smart to get multiple bids for your windows and doors before you sign any contract. Dave Bancroft, the owner of Veteran Windows and Doors, is confident he will surpass his peers in installation, customer service, and warranties, as well as the fairest prices. Dave hears people complain about the large window and door companies' empty promises with not servicing their needs and lack of knowledge about the products. Veteran Windows and Doors' commitment is to ensure that their customers know exactly what they are buying, from window rating and efficiency levels to real price comparisons, and they always respond to their customers within 24 hours. Wait to sign a contract until you get your final bid from Veteran Windows and Doors, and work with the company that values integrity and stands behind their work and product, guaranteed. Veteran Windows and Doors. Find them at klzradio.com/windows.
All right, Bruce Simmons, find out if a reverse mortgage is a good fit for you, your home, your situation, and Bruce can explain all of that. Bruce Simmons, find him at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage can make sense for you if you are properly prepared. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, can help make sure you are ready. Many things you do not need to do first, like paying your bills off first or making certain repairs. And sometimes you will need to shore up some things on the home title or a repair that Bruce knows will be needed for the appraisal. The point is, you can be prepared for a reverse mortgage and move now rather than waiting. In an interest rate increasing environment, acting quicker rather than later puts more money in your pocket. Call Bruce Simmons for a free consultation at 303-467-7821. That's 303-467-7821. Or schedule online now at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Take the stress out of that home sale or purchase. Call K&R today. Find them at klzradio.com.
Catherine and Robin with K&R know how to make you the most money on the sale of your home. A recent client told them that he saw how hard they worked for someone else in his neighborhood, the open houses, their research digging deep on home valuations in that area, and the way that they presented the house to potential buyers. He knew that they just get it. Kat and Robin are creative, and they are hard-nosed when they need to protect you from another realtor or problem person. Having two sets of expertise and individual strengths helps maximize what your home can sell for. They watch the contractor making a fix on your home, and they check out the home inspection items that don't seem quite right. Catherine knows how to present the home well and maximize the relationships. Robin will slay the dragon, and anyone who stands in the way of selling your home should be very afraid. You need the Real Estate Protectors, Catherine and Robin from K&R Home Transitions. Contact Catherine and Robin today. at klzradio.com/home or call them at 720-437-8210.
Ridgeline Auto Brokers, two locations to service you, one in Fort Collins, one in Boulder, RidgelineAutoBrokers.com.
Are you in the market for a reliable car that won't break the bank? Do you need high-quality auto repair? Then look no further. Ridgeline Auto Brokers specializes in quality used cars that cost between $15,000 and $25,000, making them a great option for first-time drivers or anyone looking for a good deal. At Ridgeline, we pride ourselves on providing a transparent and hassle-free car buying experience. That's why we never charge any dealer fees. Plus, all of our vehicles are inspected by our team of ASE-certified technicians. You can trust that the car you're buying is in excellent condition. And remember, we can also service your vehicle after the sale. At Ridgeline, we offer competitive financing options for vehicle purchase or for vehicle repairs. Ridgeline now has two locations, one in Boulder, and now a second location in Fort Collins, located at 1101 North College Avenue. Both locations offer full-service auto repair and a host of off-road accessories. Check out all our services at RidgelineAutoBrokers.com. Ridgeline, the smart way to buy or service your car.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, that's it for this hour. Thanks for listening. We sure do appreciate it. We've got other hours coming your way, so don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.